Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's where we are this morning. I'm just going to read from Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and then we'll go to God in prayer. Before I do start, was there anybody who didn't have the handout? Jake, did you get one? You have one? Anybody else need one? First Corinthians chapter 3, yes. Everybody's got theirs? Okay, that's good. So I'll just read Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and then we'll go to God in prayer. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of us, Lord, that we come together and study your word. We are mindful of those around us in Florida that have suffered damage from the storm, loss of their homes, loss of their properties. We hope that you're with each one of those that are first responders helping to clean up and rectify their current situation. We need to be mindful that we are just here for a short time. We are your people. And we know that life is fragile. We need to consider that each and every day. As we open your word, as we open your study, as we open your books and letters that were given to us freely, that we do so with a glad and open hearts and open minds. Help those that are teaching to our children that they have prepared the final lesson of that quarter. Lord, be with us each and every day. In Jesus' precious name, we believe and pray. Amen. So in the first four verses, verses 1 through 4, we looked at Paul chastising them, telling them that they were carnal people because they were immature. They were spiritually still infants because of their divisions. They were following men and not God's word. They were giving credence to men. They were carnal. Their growth and maturity had been slowed. We know that growth and maturity come to each one of us at different times, at different rates. And remember that as we are brand new Christians, we go through spiritual growth. And remember what sparked our growth and what sparked us to grow and strengthen. In verses 5 through 9, Paul and Apollos were both ministers of God's words. And he says, yeah, that's okay. But that really isn't the focus. That's not the importance. You know, we may give you the word, we may teach. Larry and I may come up and teach. Chuck would preach. Remember, God gives the increase, and that's the important part of our spiritual growth, that we have increase. Paul made sure that he showed where the importance should be placed. It was on God. And that each one will receive their reward according to their labor. Each one of us has a different labor. Each one of us has a different focus. Each one of us does different things. Not all of us get up in front of a class and teach. Not all of us do certain items that it comes to worship. But we all have a part in that because of our life, our lead. So, beginning in verses 9 through 11. And hopefully we'll get through the end of the chapter. We'll see. Paul gives an exhortation to be careful how they or we are building on the foundation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul gives them this exhortation. He gives them this warning as well, that I'm laying the foundation. What's the foundation of our faith? Christ, right? Christ did what? He died for us. He was raised for us. He took away our sins. That is the foundation. Well, why should there be another foundation? Well, Does the world add things to that foundation? Yes. But we need to make sure we're using that and we don't add or take away from the doctrines that God had given and had authorized. What do we call this? False teaching. And what were they doing at the time? They were tolerating that. They were accepting that. They were then following that pattern, sometimes because the person who was speaking was very good at speech and eloquence. But it seems even now, each generation seems to allow a pattern to change, or they add changes, or they stay away from the original plan. They're adding things to the foundation. You know, we see today instrumental music is a commonplace in a lot of denominations. We see even women who are preachers or ordained ministers or teaching classes, either on TV or in the pulpit. We see God's word isn't followed strictly. Now, what did one thing Paul call himself in verse number 10? A wise master builder, right. Wise as far as the world goes, or wise in spiritual matters? Oh, spiritual matters. And he was a master builder, meaning what? He had taken pride in making sure he was following the blueprints that God had given and laid out even for us today. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Let me know when you're ready, Kirk.
For he who comes to preach preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it.
And Ephesians 2:2. Do you have that, Steph?
Ephesians 2:2.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
We see that a lot today still, right? We see people still following different doctrine, different ways, different patterns, and not holding fast to this foundation. So when it comes to the foundation, we saw this in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, when he talks about the cornerstone in Zion. Therefore says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And then the last part, whoever believes will not act hastily. Let's turn also to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. Angel, do you have that?
And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Now, we're not talking about Peter, right? We're talking about what he had in his confession, that Jesus was our Lord and Savior and the Son of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, Paul writes to them, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, now here's the important part, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And then we've studied this before, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Jerry, do you have that for me? 1 Peter 2, verse 4.
Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious.
And so we're talking about a living stone. We're not talking about concrete, right? We're talking about Jesus as our living stone and foundation. So Paul was making the point that he describes himself as a master builder, a skillful worker. He was placed there and taught the foundation of the Gospels, so their beginning times had a strong foundation. And as he knew he wasn't going to be able to stay there, So what was going to happen? Okay, Paul was done. He had laid the foundation. Now I'm going on to somewhere else. Okay, now you're going to take up this mantle. You're going to start teaching and making sure that when you build on the foundation I've laid, make sure you put the right stuff on that foundation. It's already solid. You know, anytime you build something from the ground up, you know, if your foundation is off level, the rest of the building's not going to quite be the same. You know, you look at the buildings in the tower of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's like, okay, that foundation gave away. And we see that after the hurricane, you know, you built your house very close to the water. The water eroded your foundation. That collapsed. And then the floodgates came, and up in North Carolina and in Tennessee, we see the water washing away homes and carrying it down. Their foundation was washed away. We don't want our foundation washed away because we're laying some things on it, right? We know where our foundation is. We should be careful to that. Staying in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's turn back to 12 and 13. Paul also starts to talk about, well, how are you going to lay this foundation? What is important? What are important things that you put on this foundation? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 and 13. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. All right, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Jake, do you have that? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
And Chuck, can you do 1 Peter 1, 7? And Ken, can you read Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3? Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Got it, Ken?
Almost there,
okay.
Malachi 3, 1 through 3.
Yes, sir.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. In whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness.
And then let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 35. Verse 35. Clay, do you have that for me?
Yes. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
And Tony, can you do 2 Peter 3, 7?
Same words are kept in store.
And then I'm going to read Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. So when we see the testing of the fire, right, these things will be revealed. What things get consumed in fire? Things that, you know, don't stand up, like wood, hay, straw, right? They burned up and they're consumed. But what gets purified? Gold, silver, precious stones, things that should be placed on the foundation. We should bring our best efforts when building on the foundation of Christ. The work each one puts forward will be what? Measured and tested at judgment. Our things will be determined, says God. But each one of us, do we all have the same thing to do? Do we have the same work? Do we all do different things? Okay, well, what are the things that, if you're not teaching in class, what are the things you're doing? What are the things you're doing? There's a lot of things that have to be done. What about your influence every day? Outside this building, outside this group, what's your influence? You go to Publix. We drive down the road. Okay. And what about going on right now in people's neighborhoods and on the coastline, all up and down Florida? What are people trying to do? Treat each other decently, right? Helping each other out. This is a disaster. Trying to help each other out. And, okay, we're so far inland. Is there anything we can do? Yeah, there are things that we can do, right? Each one of us has a work to do, right? And we accomplish this differently. How does fire test physical things of this world? What does it do? Okay. And so I'm going back to fire school. Oxidation reduction, right? Oxidation reduction. We change the chemical property of the material, right? Unless it can withstand it, right? Does a normal Bic lighter, does it change the composition of iron? No. Does it change the composition of gold? No. But will it change the composition of a twig or paper? Yes. So we have a change, a composition that has been broken down, oxidation reduction. And will we be judged by what we do? Yes. Will we be judged by the things we do in everyday life? Yes. Who's going to be the judge? God's going to be the judge, right? And even remember the small thing that the woman did when she put into the collection plate. She put in what? All she owned. And Jesus had said, look at her example. You know, you give your abundance, but she gave all that she had. Right. Let's turn to back to 1 Corinthians, verses 14 and 15. And now it talks about the work. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And we'll talk about that point in a minute. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. James, can you read that for me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy.
All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, and long for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And staying in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 16. Tammy, can you read that for me? Philippians 2, 14 through 16.
Fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labor in vain.
And so we see our work or our influence, if we have it done positively, will have long-standing ramifications. You know, we think of the immediate things. Well, will it affect our children? Will it affect our grandchildren? But it could have effects on people we work with, those that we have interaction with, could have a seed that's germinated and it someday may germinate and grow. We don't know. You know, when we think we lay out a garden, you put seeds in it and you look the next day, are they up yet? Okay, the next day, are they up yet? How long did it take, Steph, for your plants to germinate?
About 5 days.
All right. It's like, all right, now you see results. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years before we see that growth. We don't know. Will everyone you come in contact with be willing and ready to listen to the gospel of Christ? Does that get frustrating sometimes when you talk to somebody and maybe they seem interested and then that interest or that zeal seems to fade away and it feels like I'm putting forth all this effort, but it said what? Do all things without complaining, grumbling, disputing, or arguing. Okay, so I should keep going even if I don't see that there's going to be some growth. Maybe it'll happen. How can we make sure when we do have that chance and that opportunity, our foundation is strong? What do we have to do then as individuals? Study, prepare, strengthen ourselves, right? Make sure iron sharpens iron, right? So we're sharpening iron right now. We're making sure that we're reading the scriptures and we're building up our strength and foundation and ready to, when that opportunity presents itself, that we can stay true to the message of God. Well, is there a chance that we could be wrong? There could be, but what should we do? Well, make sure, let's go back, right? As sometimes Chuck says, you know, I know that verse, but let's go back and open the book and make sure that I read it correctly. It's like, yes, let's make sure we get the right application and make sure I am then studying from the Word and I get the right interpretation so we can study this together. Yes. Now, here's what it said in verse 15. It says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. That seems contrary, doesn't it? How can I suffer loss, but I'm still saved? What does it talk about? My work. Well, I may give this teaching to someone. They may receive it, or they may cast it off. But I did my part, right? I did my part trying to spread that word or message to them. I'm still saved because I'm preaching the right message. But the things that I've done or that nurturing message I'm trying to get across seems to them as, well, this is foolishness or this is not really important, and then cast it aside. You just hope that someday that they realize that maybe they need to come back to that. All right, continuing on in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, Paul asked a couple questions. And it's interesting in Corinthians and in some of the other letters, and we see also that in Isaiah, they put the phrase, do you not know? Are you not aware? Are you not learned? Are you not studied? Do you not have this comprehension or understanding that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So don't you remember? I've laid this foundation down. I've been teaching you this. Don't you recall me telling you this? Verse 17, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. All right, let's look at a couple verses to kind of help us, you know, get that in perspective. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Donna, do you have that? Romans 8, verse 9. If you can see it. Well, hey, Joe, can you do 8, verse 9? She got her no glasses. I'm sorry, I didn't notice. Joe, 8, 9? Romans 8, 9.
Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
All right. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. David Snyder, would you do that for me? 6, verse 19.
know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
Right, he asks that question again, and he uses that same phrase. Do you not know? Are you not aware? He's talking about the temple of God. Don't you know that the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, that makes you holy? 2 Corinthians 6:16. Daryl, can you read that for me? 2 Corinthians 6:16. And then Ephesians 2:21, Bucky.
In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
And Chet, do you mind reading Romans 12, 1 and 2? And then I'm going to read, again, from 1 Peter. We've studied this before. I did a sermon on that, if you recall. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by, indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he talks about the temple. He talks about our bodies. He talks about the indwelling spirit and warning those that don't destroy that. Don't destroy what he's built up or put in there. Remember, the Jews were really focused on the building itself. When they finally built the temple in Jerusalem and Solomon dedicated it in 1 Kings 8, verse 10 through 11, we won't go back there. Remember, he was dedicating it so that his presence would be there. In the wandering of the wilderness, they saw that physical presence of God. Do we see a pillar of cloud over each body? We don't see it, right? We don't see it. But as his children, we have that presence within us. God's presence has entered the building because of some physical thing they've seen. Well, in contrast, we are spiritual beings, and the spiritual temple exists in each one of us. The Lord's temple is now our individual spiritual realm. How is the Lord's temple or the body destroyed today? How does that happen? If I am in Christ, if I am spiritual in nature, how do I destroy that temple? What? Sin. Sin separates us from God, right? Sin separates us from God. And have we seen people come and go? Have we seen people come into the church, come into the Lord's church, be part of his kingdom, be part of the work, and then decide, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something different. But what are our practices of our lives today that can prevent destruction of this spiritual body? Well, we go back to Ephesians 6, right? We're at war, right? And if we're at war, we need to what? Protect ourselves. We need to have those armaments on, especially the sword, right? What's the sword? The Bod. The Word of God, yes, the Word of God. So how do we make sure that our foundation, our armament, our spiritual temple stays intact each and every day?
Study.
Well, I was busy yesterday. You know, it was football yesterday. So, you know, there was a lot of football games on. So, you know, that's going to interrupt my studying. So I may have to put that aside, right? Is football more important than God's Word? You know, in the South, you know, there's people that you can't say that. Yes, you can. Yes. Even work sometimes gets in the way of putting spiritual natures. Our children at times can get in the way because they are needy. They need us. And then as we get a little bit older, not just our children anymore, they seem to be a little more independent. Now it's our parents who are getting old that require something each and every day. So we need to make sure that we're focused in on that. Okay, the last portion of chapter 3, and we might be able to get this in and finished today. 1 Corinthians 3, the last few verses, 18 through 23. Paul writes, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone who seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's." So let's look at some of the things he talked about in verse number 18. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, where we talk about knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Paula, can you read that for me? Proverbs 1, verse 7. And Linda, can you do Proverbs 2, 6? Yep. And Ruth, can you Proverbs 3, 7? Yes, ma'am. And Jim Elliott, could you do Proverbs 9:10? No, Jim Elliott. Proverbs 9:10. You got it, Jim? Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And then also Romans 12:3. Now we read Romans 12:1-2, but the verse right after it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to anyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And then as we were reading verse number 19, Paul quotes Job 5:3. And in verse 20, Paul quotes Psalm 94:8-11. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1-6. Steve, do you mind reading that for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1-6. Yep.
"Therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ."
And in verse 23, let's turn to Romans chapter 14, 8. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And then now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 through 23. And he will put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now we see the world today, what do they think of wisdom and degrees and master's degrees and PhD? That I now am superior because I have all this dedication of schooling and knowledge. Does that make them wise in the spirit? No. A lot of times that takes away from that because they feel they have more understanding than everyone else. You know, as Chuck liked to said, you have to be helped to understand the Bible. Well, with their degrees, they seem they've helped themselves to understand. I know more better than you do. More better. Yeah, that was a good one. More better. I know more better. Yes. I know more better because I'll be educated. Yes. And I've met people with higher level degrees. That doesn't necessarily make them, you know, clear of thought. But Christ's death on the cross, to them, that was just foolishness. Why would someone die for the remission of sin? That doesn't make any sense. Or when he was teaching them about eating his flesh and they thought he was talking about cannibalism. No, he's talking about the water of life and the bread of life. God's wisdom and worldly wisdom and knowledge are what? Two very different things. And in the Bible, the word wisdom is referenced 235 times and knowledge 165 times. Well, we know what Solomon had to say, right? What was the end of it? The fear of the Lord, right? And follow his commandments. Well, how many passages, and I know I wrote these in the questions, so maybe you'll have some of those for yourself. What are some of the passages that you like to think of when it talks about God's wisdom? What kind of passages have you written down? Anybody?
Proverbs
12:1. Excellent. You want to read that for me?
Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but hates correction is stupid.
That's a really good one. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else wrote down a passage that they like when it comes to God's wisdom? That was a good one, Chad. Appreciate it. Well, how are we seeking the wisdom of God? What do we do? What do we do personally, all right? Not just, okay, we're in Bible class, but what do we do personally outside of this time in assembly?
Show myself through.
Okay. And do we set a time that, hey, this is the time, or whenever I have a free moment, okay, I'm going to set this aside? Do we set a schedule for ourselves? I know we've sent out times, hey, this is how you can read through the Bible in a year. Follow this schedule. This day you read these passages. This day you read passages. Everybody has a different way of doing it. When you're studying for class, when you're preaching, you have that time for this, but also we have to do time for personal study. And sometimes when you're teaching class and preparing, you don't always set aside time for your own personal study. Now, we have the big conflict that's still raging. It's been raging for a long time. Evolution versus creation. And there's some people with these big, long letters behind their name as degrees that want to tell you that nothing made something. But in a chemical experiment or a chemistry lab or something else, you can never have nothing make something. But they just want you to take that on faith. But then I'm blindlessly following a Bible that talks about a master creator builder. And anybody who's in the medical field who study anatomy and physiology knows that there's building blocks within the body that just don't make logical sense, that it just happened. There had to be a creation. All right, I left those questions for you to fill out on your own. We'll do that next Sunday, Lord willing. We will start chapter 4, and I will have the handout hopefully by Wednesday for chapter 4 to give you.